Hi and hello. Make sure you check out the new episode of the Dave Dameshek football program. Ike Taylor and Ross Tucker are joining to talk about who the second best team in the NFL is. Andre Johnson, what to make of this Jamie Collins trade? Who the best teams, the worst teams are at the halfway point in the season? Oh, so much to kibitz about and great stories with Ike and Ross. Check it out, iTunes or NFL.com/podcasts.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here. Move the Sticks, looking back at week 8 of the NFL season. Also touching a little bit on a interesting weekend of college football and going to update our bad body good player list. We have some new recommendations from you guys on Twitter that we will take before our court here and see if we can affirm any of these decisions. Bucky, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Great football weekend. My college picks suck, but
My college picks were the same as yours. And yeah. My NFL picks were worse. You did good on the NFL this last week. I did not. Yeah, I missed some.
I need to pick it up.
When I look at what happened last week, but a couple things I want to get into. When you look at the scores from last week's game, I'll be honest with you, perfectly honest with you, did not watch any of the Vikings-Bears game. Halloween, you got trick-or-treating going on.
You didn't watch it. It was a good game.
I didn't see it. I was shocked when I saw it. I got in this morning and I watched the tape, some of the tape of the Vikings defense, of the Bears defense, wanted to see what they were doing. Man, Leonard Floyd.
How about him? He came on. Came on, made an impact. I didn't, I'll be honest, I wasn't a huge Leonard Floyd fan in the draft because I wondered if he would be able to have some production off the edge. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Barkevious Mingo, and maybe I was scared off by
the frame
and how light he was. Would he be effective? But he's found a way to make himself a pretty good pass rusher. He's coming on like gangbusters, and because they were able to get a rush with four, they would do a good job in coverage. I know the Bears were 1-6 corners of the game.
You liked them in this game, Buck. You liked them.
You know, like I was impressed with how they played, but I'm going to have to go on the other side of the ball because this is the guy that I slept on the entire draft process, Jordan Howard. Yeah. I wasn't
a huge fan either.
Wasn't a huge fan, didn't know much about him. Obviously, like he kind of like a one-year wonder playing behind Tevin Coleman, but he has been better
than
average.
Transferred over from UAB, had some production over there, but I think he had a ton of juice, but he looks great.
You know, one-cut runner, very physical, running in between the tackles, puts his foot in the ground and is very, very decisive, finishes runs with power and physicality. Doesn't have necessarily the long speed, but for the Bears and for Foxy, having known Foxy when we were together at Carolina, we had Stephen Davis, and Stephen Davis didn't necessarily have the juice, but he was a physical, rugged runner, and you could kind of lather him up, give him 25, 30 carries. And with Jordan Howard, I'm beginning to see them find an identity because they can run the ball. And I don't think it's a coincidence because they were able to run the ball successfully. Jay Cutler looked like a real dude.
All right, a couple other games I want to get to. Eagles, Cowboys, Packers, Falcons. But before we do that, Patriots end up beating the Bills. Not a surprise. We both predicted that, saw that one coming. However, was surprised to see a trade that we had go down with Jamie Collins. Were you shocked by that one?
I am shocked by that. I'm always surprised when good players are let go. And I know there's been some scuttlebutt about Jamie Collins, but prior to this trade, all we heard about was how he's kind of like the new prototype
athletic
of the
freak
linebacker position, guy that can line up and play inside, can play outside. We saw how valuable he was to the team last year during their playoff run, his ability to come off the edge, cover people down the field. You just can't find guys like that. And so when you have a hybrid player, a guy that can do so many things, it's hard for me to see or justify why you want to let him go, outside of the fact that he was in the last year of his deal and he wanted big-time money.
Yeah, that seems to be part of it. I know Mike Lombardi, who we both know well, has kind of gone in on his play in terms of not playing within the system and not giving great effort. And it was interesting when I watched one of the plays that Mike was referencing was the second play of the game. And so I went back and watched the tape, watched the entire game to see what Jamie Collins was doing in that game against Buffalo. And he was right on that second play. He ends up kind of shooting a gap. They bounce the run for 28 yards, and his bad. The rest of the game, when I watched it, Buck, I didn't see. I mean, they scored a touchdown where they were down about the 2-yard line, and he's kind of got two gaps he's responsible for. He comes off, hits the guy at the one, and kind of just powers through him to score a touchdown. I think it was Gillis Lee that
yep.
powered through him. But I don't really put that on him. And then I saw him with a couple pressures, a couple quarterback hits, saw him covering, looked athletic. So, to me, I don't know. I read between the lines here. I thought, okay, maybe this is an attitude issue.
I mean, it could be something going on behind closed doors.
Because let me just pose this to you. So, it was for a 2018 pick. So when you think about this,
2 years.
Well, actually, so it's a. It's
or Jim, jump in here.
It's for the compensatory third round pick in 2017. It was announced as a 2018 fourth round pick.
Yeah.
But once the Browns get that third round compensatory pick,
it will go to that
from Alex Mack.
Yeah.
Leaving for I believe the Falcons.
Okay.
This year they'll get that third round pick for 2017.
So they'll no 2018 pick.
No 2018.
Okay. Well, that makes still. I'm go ahead and make my.
I mean, you're talking about a third round pick, and so I mean, I want to say Jamie Collins was a second rounder. He was a guy that came from Ole Miss. We played some safety. They kind of moved him around the linebacker.
Southern Miss. Yep.
He comes in, and he really was a really big contributor for them. And I just don't like to let good players leave the building. And so I know they talked about his freelance ability, but this is also a team that had a junior sayout. The late junior sayout was known to freelance a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so there are some liberties that people have taken within that defense. Maybe just a situation where he and Bill Belichick didn't get along and they just wanted to part ways. But I certainly don't believe that this trade made the Patriots better. And I think it could be one of those trades that we look back in the postseason where it may have come back to harm him, because the guys that they brought over, the Calvin Noyes and those other guys, they haven't played at the level that we've seen Jamie Collins play.
Now, here's a couple points I want to make. So this is what I was originally getting ready to say here, is that if you're the Patriots – you hold on to Jamie Collins for the rest of the season. In a season, by the way, which you have Super Bowl aspirations.
Absolutely.
He helps you this year. Maybe he makes a play, gets you a Super Bowl. Then you don't re-sign him. He walks. The Patriots are not active in free agency. They're going to get a fantastic comp pick. It's going to be a third or a fourth round pick they're going to end up getting for him.
Same pick.
Yeah, so they're going to still get him for this year in the playoff run, and they're still going to get this similar value pick. Now, the difference being the Browns is going to be the first pick. Or if it's a comp pick, no, it's still going to be at the bottom of the third round. So that's yep. not
it's
the
just
case.
A year difference. It was 2018.
You're getting it now versus a year later. That's the only difference there. And the other point that I was thinking of was Eric Mangini, okay, a Bill Belichick disciple. What was the biggest knock on him with the Browns? I remember, look, I'd got let go, so I wasn't there when he was there. But in talking to people, it was, man, he's gotten rid of all – he doesn't want any athletes. He wants a bunch of robots, mm-hmm. you know, a bunch of, you know, smart robots he can plug in there that can run his defense. Well, guess what? When you don't have Tom Brady, you don't have Rob Gronkowski, a bunch of smart robots doesn't work. It didn't work there. And so this is a situation where I'm going, man – are they good enough defensively that they just throw away an athlete like this? That's a head-scratcher to me.
I don't think so. I don't think they're good enough from a personnel standpoint to be able to throw away a talented player, because I believe that he would probably rate as a blue player in most systems in terms of his ability to make contribution, his ability to be probably a top 10 player at his position. I think he falls in that realm. And so when you have a blue player, you just don't like to give those away. Yes, it can be masked and overshadowed by the work that the offense is doing. The offense can play keep away and not expose the defense to a lot of opportunities or reps. But at some point, when you get into the playoffs, you have to be able to play solid defense. And without Jamie Collins, I wonder, can they go toe-to-toe with some of the heavyweight teams that they may face in the AFC?
I know he got beat up in coverage a little bit in the playoff game, I want to say, against Denver last year. Right? Was it Owen Daniels that got
a little bit,
a
little
times?
Bit, a little play action.
Three touchdowns by Owen Daniels.
Yeah.
He had, what, zero touchdowns during the regular season?
Yeah, again, though. But
sounds like a Patriots fan.
Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, his ability, when you watch him, he plays inside, he plays outside, they move him all around. You know, I don't know. He seemed like it's just –
maybe they feel like that because in Calvin Noy, the guy they traded for last week from the Detroit Lions, he has ability
to play. He did some of that at BYU.
He did some of that stuff. Not to the level of Jamie Collins.
No question. So I want to get through that. Maybe we'll see before the end of the day, we might have a couple more trades come down. But as of right now, we're airing this podcast. That's pretty much it. And we had a trade. I think Jonathan Banks got traded. I don't think anybody's too fired up about that. Packers. Let's go Packers-Falcons real quick, Bucky. What'd you see in that one? Aaron Rodgers had a phenomenal game. Line up the receiver in the backfield. Davante Adams caught about 900 balls in this game, but the Falcons still found a way to win it.
Falcons found a way to get it done, but we'll focus on the Packers first. And what I like about the Packers is they're finally playing their young guys at wide receiver. So much of their issues early in the season, I felt like, was attributed to the fact that they weren't using the juice that they had within the lineup. Young guys, Trevor Davis coming over, being able to be a contributor, not only as a returner, but as a receiver. Geronimo Allison had an opportunity to play because Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb didn't play. We've seen some of those other young guys come in and make contributions. So now when you get Randall Cobb back, you put Ty Montgomery back in there, Jordy Nelson continues to get healthy, they can try out what they call their Big Five package, which is when – They put five receivers on the field. They may have one of those guys going to the backfield. They go at a no-huddle tempo, and then they keep you from matching up with their personnel. Aaron Rodgers is beginning to look more like Aaron Rodgers, and part of it is because their young guys are getting on the field.
I took some heat on Twitter. People are like, oh, you're not saying what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers now? And I'm like, did you watch when we talked about him? Because what we clearly stated was his issues were 100% correctable.
Absolutely.
That because he's playing well now doesn't mask the fact he was not playing well earlier this season.
Absolutely.
He's cleaned some things up.
Look, we have to call a spade a spade. He wasn't playing very well earlier in the season. And we talked about he wasn't playing well, but also the receivers weren't helping him by uncovering. We've seen the last couple of weeks when they've gone to the Big Five package, because they went to the Big Five package a little more, first against Dallas, then in the game prior to that, I want to say in Chicago. And now we've seen them use more receivers, more juice on the field, more athleticism, more guys that can get open. Consequently, Aaron Rodgers is able to scramble a little more and make big plays, which have always been kind of like the backbone of that offense.
One of the things when we switch over to the other side there with the Falcons is you never this is why you never claim victory or defeat on a player until a couple years in. Last year, Vic Beasley didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Had another sack. It was a little bit of a garbage sack in this game, but as of right now, Buck.
7.5?
Yeah, he's third in the league, I believe, in sacks. So it got me to thinking. We've talked about this before. Something Ozzie believed in with the Ravens, with when I was there, talk about production mattering when it comes to sacks in college. And Deion Jordan is a great example. Somebody didn't have sack production. You project him to have it and never did. Obviously, some off-the-field issues there as well. But so I just got to thinking. I went through, and as the stats stand right now, went through the top 12 in sacks, and I went through their college production. Overall, career sacks, and then the last 2 years. So in case they weren't really involved or didn't get a lot of play time, their last 2 years of college football, how many sacks they got. So it's pretty interesting. You want me to rip through these?
Let's do it.
All right. Lorenzo Alexander currently leading the league in sacks. Somebody who had never had something like never more than like 4.5 sacks, I don't think, throughout it in his NFL career, in a long NFL career. So
He's been more of a special teamer for most of his career.
He's an exception because I think he only had 4.5 sacks. His did not show up. I had to do some digging on his college stats, but I believe it was 4.5 over a 4-year career at Cal. His last 2 years, 1.5 and 1. So he's the outlier. Von Miller, 33 sacks in his career. His last 2 years, 17 and then 10.5. And keep an eye on how many of these guys have at least one double-digit sack year.
Yep.
Cliff Avril, a little bit lower number, 12.5. And just that 2 years there, 6 and then 6.5. So he's a little bit lower. But now we go Vic Beasley, 30 sacks in his career, 13 and 9 his last 2 years. D Ford, 27.5, 6.5, but then 14 his last year. Kerrigan, 33.5, 13 and then 12.5. So numbers are great. Arakpo, 23, 5.5, but then 11.5. So it goes over 10 his last year there. Marcus Golden, a little bit lower, but you got to remember all those defensive linemen they had there.
Yes, ate up some of the sacks.
Ate up some of those. So he had 14.5 over his career, 16.5, and then 8. Trent Murphy, I'd forgotten about this. He's having a good year so far. Out of Stanford, 32.5 sacks, 10 and then 15. He had 15 sacks his last year at Stanford.
Yep.
Eric Walden, 31.5, 11.5, and then his last year he had 2. I don't know if he was injured or what there. Leonard Williams is an interior player at USC, had the high ankle sprain, but he ended up with 20 sacks over his career, which is a pretty good total, 5 and then 7. I believe he had 8 as a freshman. Willie Young, 20, 6.5, and then 8. So most of them have at least one double-digit year, and if not a double-digit year, they're in that 7-8 range. The production does matter when you're evaluating pass rushers.
Production matters when you're evaluating pass rushers because at the end of the day, the guys that can get home, there's a skill to getting the quarterback on the ground.
Yep.
And so you want to have guys that are very, very productive. Now, this is something you obviously worked under Ozzie. It's something that I heard Ozzie talk about before, so I always paid close attention to it. So even years ago when we would have those debates where we were talking about Vic Beasley or some of the other guys, Anthony Barr was another guy that we had talked about.
Yep.
The sack production in college, to me, would stand out, and I would be more prone to hang on those guys because if they had done it back-to-back years or multiple years, I believe that they could replicate it, just like we're seeing with Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa, like, he may not be the most explosive athlete, but he has a knack for getting there. And so there's something to that, and I think at that position in particular, we have to pay close attention to production. One other thing that stands out to me, and we'll use Vic Beasley as the guy to talk about it. I studied Vic Beasley last week as part of my notebook that I write on Fridays. And one of the things that helped Vic Beasley this year kind of find his game, one, they moved him to linebacker so they could move him around a little bit, put him on the open side, put him over to tight end, and create some favorable matchups. The other thing, and we're seeing this a lot, people are moving their best pass rusher to left defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
So they can work against the right tackle on offense. The right tackle is normally the inferior of the pass protectors on the edges. And so now you have a guy that can throw a fastball and a guy that can't hit a fastball. And so Vic Beasley has benefited from that. We saw the sack that he got to seal the game, one against San Diego. And then again, he has been able to get these sacks because he's working against an inferior talent on that side.
No question. Great point there, Buck. Let's go real quick here, what we saw from Eagles-Cowboys. It was a great game. It was a wildly entertaining game. My one point that I would make from a scouting standpoint, the biggest criticism of the Eagles coming out of this game, they didn't throw the ball down the field. Dink and dunk. He was averaging 5 yards, mm-hmm. A throw. And it was. Look, when you're watching it, it looks weird because they never attacked down the field. They absolutely should have taken a couple shots. They didn't do it. But I just, from a scouting standpoint, when you go back and watch their tape, once Lane Johnson left the lineup and you saw that they could not block Ryan Kerrigan.
They can't protect him.
They can't protect. In order to take shots down the field, you have to be able to protect. Yeah. So I think they felt like that was their best way to move the football in this game, and they were pretty effective moving it up and down. If Wendell Smallwood doesn't fumble, a lot of ifs and buts, you know, all that kind of stuff. But to me, I thought, yeah, I should have taken some shots. But I understand why they didn't. I think so many people were so baffled by that, I thought it was pretty easy to understand.
Well, I think it's pretty easy to understand when you talk about their own issues as it relates to their personnel. Offensive tackle, right tackle is an issue, so you don't want to necessarily expose Carson Wentz to the licks. But also the coverage on the other end kind of dictates whether you can take shots a lot. Those who know Rod Marinelli understands that he's a Tampa 2 disciple.
He believes
in bending but don't breaking. They're not going to allow the ball really to fly over their head. The Dallas Cowboys have been very, very good on defense because they've been simple and allow their guys to play fast. They can get a single high safety looks on early downs, play some cover three, some cover one, which is man-to-man free, free safety in the middle, play bump and run on the outside. The Eagles don't have receivers that can necessarily escape that. Secondly, when they get you in long yardage situations, they're going to play cover two. They're going to force you to take the check down. Carson Wentz was smart enough not to challenge the coverage, to take the dink and dunk and allow those guys to uncover. So, yes, you would like to see more shots, but the defense and the protection didn't allow him to take shots down the field.
I think you'll look for one adjustment for the Eagles to make going forward. They've got to get Ertz down the seam. He's plenty capable of giving them some chunk plays down the middle of the field. When you see those, that especially that too high look that you're talking about, Bucky, get a tight end, let him work over that middle linebacker. That should be an advantage, a matchup advantage for the Eagles. They haven't cashed that in. We flip it over to the Cowboys on the offensive side of the ball. I wanted to see how this Eagles front would go up against this Cowboys offensive line. I thought the Eagles made some plays up front. I thought Brandon Graham, Doug Free, a matchup we talked about, favorite Eagles. But I thought over the long haul, over the course of the game, you get into the third, you get late into the fourth quarter, those big guys keep leaning on you. It plays a role. I thought they wore them down, and the Cowboys front ended up getting the better of them.
Yeah, I think they wore them down, and that's what Dallas has to do. They got to hit you with the jab. They have to lean on you. They have to make it a 15-round fight. And if they take it to the distance, they're going to win on the cards because they're bigger and more physical than most teams. And when you have a Zeke Elliott who is really slowed down in terms of letting the game come to him, reading the reads at the point of attack and being able to take the yardage that's available while also running with the power and physicality that we like, Dallas is a tough matchup because they make you kind of play in a phone booth, and a lot of teams don't have the personnel on defense to kind of hold up against that attack.
And I thought Dak, we've talked to him about the college guys, about Deshaun Watson previously. You know, when he gets in those clutch moments, whatever issues he has, they seem to kind of just drift away. Dak Prescott, to his credit, the same thing. When they need a throw, when they need a drive, he has that ability to slow everything down.
And I think that's a skill, and we'll continue to talk about Deshaun Watson, especially if he declares for the draft. That is the one trait that you can always say about Deshaun Watson. He understands how to step his game up in those critical moments. With Dak Prescott, we're seeing that too. He was off for most of the game. He missed a lot of throws. It wasn't his best performance, but when they needed it late stages of the fourth quarter and overtime, he delivered. And I think that matters more than some of the mechanics and some of the missed throws that he had early in the game. The fact that when called upon and they needed plays, he was able to deliver those plays.
All right, no question. I know we're a little bit crunched on time today, Buck. I want to, before we get to the college stuff here, Arjuna, we've had some requests for additions to our All Bad Body Good Player team. And for those that don't know, we've been doing this for a couple episodes now. And in scouting, you use the phrase bad body, good player. Might not look the part, maybe a little sloppy, maybe a little undersized, a little oversized. Doesn't look right, but he's a really good football player. So we've compiled a team. We've got some guys. We got a good chunk of our lineup. We're in need, though, of some guys on the defensive side of the ball, particularly linebackers and secondary. I know we had some nominations from everybody on Twitter. Arjuna, do you have any of those for us?
Yeah, so on the defensive side, three linebackers that people suggested, perfect.
Vontaze perfect, Bucky? That seems like
a Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, is that a pencil for us or pen?
No, we put it in pen. He's in.
All right, Vontaze perfect has got a spot. He's a linebacker. I'm putting him in right now.
We got Telvin Smith.
Skinny. I'm not going to go. He's got a safety body. I'm not going to say bad body. I vote no.
Yeah, I don't think he'd go. These are normally the dumpy guys.
What else we got?
And then the other linebacker, Manti Te'o.
Ooh.
I think that's an intriguing one.
Manti Te'o is a pencil. He's pencil right now. I'm not willing to put him in pen just yet. But I'll go pencil for Manti.
Other defensive players we have, some more D linemen if you
What do we have here?
So we got Claiborne for D end, Babineau.
Okay.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald, though, I don't think he's just a squinched body.
Yeah, he's short, just built different. Yeah.
Brandon Mabane.
Oh, Brandon Mabane.
Brandon Mabane, he can make that. He can make that.
The dance.
Yeah.
Mabane, you want to put him? See, we might have to put a vote on that one because right now at that Will Forks is a lock.
Yes.
But we've got Nick Fairley, Danny Shelton, and let's add Mabane. We've got three guys for one spot there. So maybe on Twitter, let us know who should win that one. Fairley, Danny Shelton, Mabane. Danny Shelton, I watched him again today, Buck. He's playing great.
You know, he has those traits that we look for inside. I mean, he's still not necessarily a three-down player, but his quickness, his athleticism, he uses his hands really well. He can control and stack at the point of attack. He's playing well for the Browns. The Browns haven't gotten all the wins, but they've got some nice performances from their rookie class.
We had one previously. Again, we have a lot of these in pen, some of them in pencil. One in pencil that I would like to move over to pen.
Okay, what we got?
Darrell Revis.
Oh, yeah, I think it's time.
I think we're going to lock him in.
I think it's time.
In pencil. He is in pen. Father Time is a rough one there. Any other ones?
We got Mike Daniels, D end.
He's
player.
A big guy.
Good
big
player.
Body.
We have a couple O linemen, Justin Britt, Jason Kelsey, Gabe Jackson. And somebody threw out there, this is kind of strange to me, Russell Wilson.
Because
he's smaller.
Quarterback, smaller.
He's kind of like a small refrigerator.
You know who surprisingly, just watch when you watch him, does not look like he has a good body? Is Laremy Tunsil. He's got a little bit of a belly going on.
Yeah,
there.
I can see.
Yeah,
that.
You know, good eating now.
Yeah, a lot of Cuban food down there in Miami. And we have a guard spot open. I don't know. We could find a worse guard body than that. To be continued. Those are some good. We got a couple of new additions there.
Oh, and then there's King Dunlap as well, offensive tackle.
So King Dunlap coming out of college was unbelievably bad body.
Yeah.
But he's found the weight room. He's transformed his body. So I'm not
we'll keep him off.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep him off. Hats off to him for working hard. And he got it. He fought his way. He just fought his way off of bad body, good player to now. Good body, okay player. It's an entirely different list.
So we still need safeties. We don't have any safeties.
Yeah, so here's what we need. We need a center. We need to nail down the center spot, which shouldn't be that hard. We should be able to find. You know, Nick Mangold's got kind of a bad body. Yeah. And he's kind of a sloppy beard thing going on, too. The whole thing's kind of sloppy.
Very bad beard.
I'm going to go pencil on Nick Mangold until I hear something better.
Okay, we can pencil him in.
We need another guard. We need a defensive end. We need another linebacker. We need a corner and two safeties.
What about DJ Fluker? Do we have him in there?
Yeah, that's a good nomination.
Fluker or Chance Warmack, one of those.
Oh, Chance Warmack I would vote for over Fluker.
Yeah, one of those.
For guard, I'll go Warmack and pencil. Warmack and pencil. We need a corner and two safeties, though. We got to get some safety nominations.
Yeah, safeties. Yeah.
We'll work on that. This is a work in progress, and we'll continue to upgrade this list as we go along. Bucky, from the college weekend, Clemson, Florida State was a great game. We both went Seminoles, and we both missed.
Yeah, we both took L's on that, but that's okay. I mean, sometimes you have to dare to be different. What was really telling in that game, it was the Dalvin Cook showcase. Yeah. I think we got a chance to see all that Dalvin Cook could be at the next level. Terrific inside runner. has explosive quickness, can bounce and get outside, traditionally and consistently catches the ball out the backfield. Did have a big drop that probably could have changed the outcome of the game a little bit down the boundary, but I like what he brings to the table. I think he's similar to Devontae Freeman in a way, but he's an upgrade. I think when I did the evaluation over the summer, I wrote down in my notebook, kind of reminds me a little bit of Warrick Dunn.
That's a good
one. Terms of how he kind of plays the game, has some slippery, some slipperiness that he can get to, some elusiveness that I like. He's a really good player. I think it's going to be really, really interesting following him in this draft process.
Washington ended up squeaking one out over Utah. Dante Pettis, nice job in the punt return game there for them.
Their running back had a big game too.
Yeah, the little back, Gaskin.
Yes, Gaskin's
a good little
nice
player. Louisville, I watched that game. Lamar Jackson, when he needed to, he dialed it up a notch too. Man, he's got a hose, man. That ball jumps out of his hand.
Big arm, dynamic athlete. The thing that, to me, that is special about Lamar Jackson, even when I look at Deshaun Watson is a good athlete. Lamar Jackson is dynamite.
Nice word, Bill. Dynamite.
We're
going to do a lot of this as we go towards the draft, and we'll see who ends up declaring and all that kind of stuff. But I've already got a couple guys where it's going to be fun to sort out. We've got Davis, a linebacker from Florida, mm-hmm. Davis. And then you've got Reuben Foster at Alabama.
Woo!
These are two studs now.
Yeah, Reuben Foster is a grown man.
He is a dude. He is a grown man. I was talking to Phil Savage, a good friend who runs the Senior Bowl. I work with him. You've known him forever, Buck. And Reuben Foster, he went ahead and put him, when I talked to him that day, he put him in that Patrick Willis class.
Ooh.
And I said, no. I mean, when I look at where he's going to go in the draft, Pat, I think, went like 9, 10, somewhere around there. Top 15 pick. C.J. Mosley, I believe, was 18, 19, somewhere in there. I think Reuben Foster's got a chance to go way up there.
I think he has. I mean, he's a physical player. I mean, he's a grown man. He has a maturity and a leadership sense in terms of how he plays the game.
Ooh, Patrick Willis. What number did he get?
Patrick Willis was in the top 10.
Did he end up going in the top 10?
I think he was top 10 or 11.
Willis was 11.
He was 11.
Mosley was 17.
Okay, and then Keekly, I believe, was 9.
Yeah, he was definitely in the top 10.
That was
the
year I was in Philly when we took Fletcher Cox. There's sometimes, look, you get lucky as a team when you're targeting one guy, he's not there, and you end up getting the other guy. He ends up being a better player than one you were targeting. And in Philly, the two players we had zeroed in on were Keekly and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, couldn't go wrong with either one of those guys.
Couldn't go wrong with either one. Anyway, so it's going to be fun to kind of sort out some of these battles with these college players. Buck, we got to run here. But we have a lot of video content. Our midseason all-rookie team, we got videos up for you guys to check out on YouTube. Go to the NFL channel. Just pump in Move the Sticks on YouTube. You'll find it. We also have a bunch of other content you can find on that YouTube channel, as well as NFL.com/MTSvideo. Be sure to send us your submissions. We need to finish up this bad body, good player list. Buck, you good to go?
Good to go.
Last week, you brought us out of the show. And did such a bang up job.
Did I?
I think it's your responsibility from now on.
I don't even remember what I said. I mean,
well then, just do it again.
I don't remember what I said. It must have been Freestyle Friday. I don't know, but I know this: you can get all your Move the Sticks content. Make sure you go to NFL.com. Check all that stuff that we have out. YouTube, we are on it. You always use Stitcher and some of the other stuff. iTunes.
Yes. You can leave us a rating on iTunes. You can leave us a review on it.
You can leave us a review and all that other stuff. I feel like I need to script it.
You're good at this, man.
I feel like I need you to write this in.
All right, we're done.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.